With an ice pack on my knee and an iced coffee in my hand. Hi, I'm Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. My knee will be fine. I ran a little too much. The QAnon folks were all excited that March 4th would have been the day that Donald Trump revealed himself to truly be the president. Stephen Colbert said, "Now, I'm no psychologist, but you could say that they're suffering from March madness. Also, they're clinically insane." Kimmel, "How many more times are these people going to prepare for a victory that doesn't come? I don't know who Q is, but he's definitely a Clippers fan." Colbert, "Still, where there's a will, there's a way to cash in, because the former president's hotel in Washington jacked up prices around March 4th. Sounds cynical, but they offered premium services. If you're exhausted from travel, you can just call the front desk and ask the concierge to hang Mike Pence." Yikes, Trevor. "Oh, man, what a grift. Honestly, I don't even blame Trump. If I was him, I would milk the bleep out of this thing. I'd be charging my guests for things they didn't even buy. Wait a minute, I never bought the Toblerone." And then as Trump, he said, "I guess the Democrats stole that too. I feel your pain." Trevor Noah, "In a way, I understand. The deeper you fall into something, the less you want to admit you were duped, you know, which makes you even more desperate to keep the fantasy going. I mean, that's why I'm sure that the next Kanye album's going to be great again. It has to be great." Jimmy Fallon did a sketch with Elizabeth Olsen. It's called Fallon Vision. I just watched it and it's pretty cool. If you're not hip to WandaVision, spoilers, the first couple episodes take place in recreations of classic sitcoms, Dick Van Dyke being one of them, Bewitched being one of them. So Fallon kind of borrowed from that. It starts with Jimmy doing a 1950s era Steve Allen kind of Tonight Show. And I like the hair that they have on Jimmy on that. Looks, looks right to my 2021 eyes, as, you know, how Jimmy Fallon might have looked in the 50s. Then they jump to the 70s and they both smoke cigarettes on TV. Vulture says, "After the idea was conceived and fine-tuned by Fallon and his wonderful writer's room," I added the word wonderful, "the first step was to confirm that Elizabeth Olsen, who was already booked as a guest, was game to participate in the homage. She was, though she had to improvise a bit when wigs and other props couldn't be shipped to her house quickly enough. She's in London shooting Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. She took her Sunday to do this with her team, and they didn't have costumes, they just used what they had. The sets of all the previous incarnations of The Tonight Show, including backgrounds from the 50s, 70s, 90s, and zeros, were built in smaller incarnations that enabled Fallon to film all of his retro segments in one night of production." I'll disagree with that. I felt like one was actually an homage to the late night set, and specifically Letterman's late night set with the small round desk. Watch the sketch, you'll see what I mean. As for which host he was channeling, the 1950s was specifically Steve Allen, but the director of the sketch says in the 70s, I think it was sort of a combo of Tom Snyder, Dick Cavett, and Carson. Yeah, it's definitely not doing a Carson. While Fallon's 90s talk show channeled pieces of Dave Letterman, yep, Leno, and Conan O'Brien. Followed, of course, by an homage to Fallon's own hosting gig on Late Night in the early 2010s. Fun sketch, you should watch it. Fox has confirmed that The Simpsons ain't going nowhere, baby. It has been renewed for seasons 33 and 34, keeping it on the air through at least 2023, bringing it to a grand total of 757 episodes. I'm like a lot of people. I just lost touch with The Simpsons. I'm not anti-Simpsons. I made it pretty late. I made it to, like, I don't know, season 22, 23, but even I'm 10 years behind, and, you know, I got kids and jobs and I host a podcast and stuff. I don't know when I'm ever going to have time to catch up on the 10 seasons of Simpsons that I haven't seen. Never mind watching 757 episodes. I guess someday in the nursing home, you can throw on FX and just go, "Here, Grandpa, watch The Simpsons for the next 10 weeks and I'll do it." Matt Groening said, "Everybody at The Simpsons is thrilled to be renewed once more. And we're planning plenty of big surprises. Homer will lose a hair, Milhouse will get contact lenses, and Bart will celebrate his 10th birthday for the 33rd time." Also included in the press release is a comment from Homer Simpson, who says, "Woohoo! With any luck, the show will soon be older than I am." Bill Burr has stuck up for Gina Carano. Gina was a co-star on The Mandalorian, and I'll let Yahoo TV catch us up. I'm using their phrasing here, and I'm tripping over some of their words, but as Yahoo TV wrote it, "Ever since Gina Carano was fired from The Mandalorian over abhorrent social media posts that compared being a conservative in Hollywood to being Jewish in Nazi Germany, her former collaborators on the show have declined to comment on the circumstances behind her controversial departure. Now Bill Burr has become one of the first cast members to directly address the issue. He was on the Bill Burt podcast, which is hosted by Burt Kreischer, who we should vote for in Top Dog, and Bill Burr. Burr described Carano as, quote, an absolute sweetheart when they worked together. But Bill said, I'm on that effing show. Now I got to watch what the F I say. She was an absolute sweetheart. Super nice effing person. And you know, whatever, someone will take this video and effing make me say something else and try to get rid of my bald action figure. How's it out there? It's effing crazy time. There's people waiting, just laying in the weeds. Burr talked about there being a cancel culture industry addicted to celebrity takedowns. Let's show that he's human and he's made a mistake in his past and take that dream away. Burr asked, how do you hold up judging somebody that harshly? I'm not talking about the hardcore S like sexual assault and rape and stuff. I'm not talking about that. Now it's becoming like, hey, you made an ignorant comparison. There goes your dream. I look at that and I say, who the F stands up to that? Joe DeRosa was on the show and said, I get what she was trying to say. Obviously, any comparison, anything with the Holocaust is a shoddy comparison. It's a dumb thing to do. I'm not disagreeing with any of that. However, how's it any different from all the people on the left when Trump got elected and they said, he's like Hitler? How's that any different? Burr gave his guest a verbal thumbs up. Joe DeRosa with an interesting take. Look at you. Burr said, it's a weird time. Unless she did some truly horrible crap or said overly racist crap, if you make a bad comparison, it's just ignorant. I think there's just too many channels. So the other day I was hanging out with Elon and Zuck. We hang out and they were like, yo, we heard the mid-roll you did for the Highbrow Drivel podcast the other day. And I was like, yeah, I'm not a billionaire like you guys. I got to read commercials for podcasts and stuff. That's why I'm always hawking buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews trying to get somebody to give me $5. And they were like, yeah, but bro, Highbrow Drivel Pod was killing billionaires. And I'm like, yeah, not for nothing, Elon. You could write me a check and then I wouldn't have to do mid-rolls. But I do have to do mid-rolls. Trying to make a living here doing comedy news. So yeah, I'm doing commercials. Right now I'm doing one for Highbrow Drivel. The audience is 20 seconds into it and didn't even realize it. In case you missed the last episode of Highbrow Drivel, they talked about why we need to get rid of billionaires with Lloyd Russell Moyle. He's a minister. And Susie Steed, she's a comedian and former economist. So this is why Elon and Zuck are mad at me, because I read the commercial for this. So on Highbrow Drivel, comedian Anthony Jeannot is joined each week by a new stand-up comedian and a new expert to discuss their field of expertise. They talk about the big topics, the brain, space, climate science, psychedelics, billionaires, all the areas you're most likely to end up when you're drunk at the end of a party, just trying to figure it all out. It's a light, funny, and easy accessible way to hear the latest from some serious mind-blowing experts. Topics change every week. Some episodes were astronomy, machine learning, and the neuroscience of memory. Highbrow Drivel, wherever you get your podcasts, and Elon, write me the check and I'll stop doing mid-rolls. So I mentioned buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. That's where if you like what I do and you want to support the show, you can buy me a coffee like this iced coffee with caramel. And then every now and then, I hook up the supporters of the show with bonus episodes, and I did that last night. I dropped a bonus episode. It's all about the Brady Kids. Remember when the Brady Bunch was a cartoon? Remember when the Brady Kids lived in a treehouse? Remember when the Brady Kids didn't have Tiger the Dog, they had Mop Top? Remember when the Brady Kids hung out with a magic bird? Remember when the Brady Kids had two pandas living with them? Remember when they met Wonder Woman? I went down this rabbit hole. I wanted to know how they fed the pandas. I found out. So if you want to hear me go on and on about cartoons, there are now two episodes for members only. The first about sitcoms turned into cartoons. And I mentioned the Brady Kids in that one, but also Fonz and the Happy Days Gang and all that stuff. And then this is a new supporters only episode. This one just about the Brady Kids cartoon. Buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. My man Donnie Zoldan back in the news. And good news, Donnie. West Side Rag says, New York State has set April 2nd as the date for theaters in New York to reopen with capacity rules. New York State, you have no sense of humor. Why not do it on April 1st, April Fool's Day, when, you know, people are looking for comedy things? Why would you wait one extra day? Whatever. Theaters that can hold fewer than 10,000 people can reopen at 33% capacity, with up to 100 people inside and 200 outside. Not bad. Donnie Zoldan looking forward to reopening Stand Up New York April 2nd. Saying, we've really been deprived of making a living. He's looking forward to getting about 40 people laughing again safely inside Stand Up New York. The weekend's coming. Regular episodes all weekend. I got a bunch of stuff. I'm actually going to record Saturday right now. And that's your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Oh, let me cross promote. I'm the writer on a podcast called Palace Intrigue. And that pesky Meghan Markle, she's talking to Oprah Winfrey Sunday night and upsetting my buddy Queen Elizabeth II. And there's a whole thing. So if you like drama and you like the crown and you like the royal family and you just like seeing people argue with each other, Palace Intrigue has been wonderful this week. We're actually going to do bonus episodes all weekend over there. We're going to live tweet the Oprah Winfrey thing. That Twitter account is at Palace Intrigue 1. So going to be a lot of fun. Meghan versus the Queen. Can't wait. That's Sunday night. So that podcast is called Palace Intrigue. If you want to subscribe to that, and that also available on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows. Oh, wait, don't leave. I forgot to tell you to vote. go to Instagram at Daily Comedy News. This whole Bert Kreischer, John Mulaney thing, it's neck and neck. Need some people to vote. Catahoua Dog voted, saying, Mulaney, it isn't even a competition. Fashion Lurker, love Bert, but Mulaney's in a different league. Mulaney. I've extended the voting because it's so close. Today's your last day. Vote. Go to Instagram at Daily Comedy News. Find the post of Top Dog where there's a picture of Bert Kreischer and John Mulaney. Pick one and they will be the top dog. All right, now we're done. See you tomorrow.